Well, welcome to another exciting week of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
I'm Judy Nathans. I don't know how exciting it's going to be, but we're here, right?
We are here.
Yeah.
This is truly. And that says something.
Yes.
I don't know what it says. It says something.
It says that we don't have any other place to be.
That's true. That's true. Actually, as the year winds down, I believe we can have a show next week.
And then we're going to have a two-week hiatus, which I'm real happy about.
That's right.
Because Christmas and New Year's falls on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's all good for me.
So we have to pack a month into 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we'll try.
Our last try our best of 2018.
That's true. So I thought maybe something we could touch on right at the very beginning today is just to make a little announcement. Not an announcement so much, but report on the fact that there was a kind of a nice event in Central Square today.
Right. Yes, I missed that. I mean, I heard about it, but only you would find out.
Yeah, so the thing is that an idea that's been floated by several councilors and some of the citizenry as well for the last, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years, basically ever since the Cambridge Police Department.
Has it been that long since they haven't been there?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure when they moved over to Fifth Street, but
definitely
I think it's got to be like
years.
5 or 6,
yeah.
So the thing is, there was a perceived loss of police presence in Central Square, and I think it's more than just a perception. I think it was a reality.
Sure.
And so there were some councils. I think when Dennis Benzan was on the council, you know, he would talk about having some kind of a outpost. I remember using the word. They used the word outpost, and it was a substation or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just to have some police presence in Central Square. I remember when we have our Central Square safety and infrastructure meetings, we talked with the police department. We were very receptive to the idea of having kind of a joint facility where it would be like a substation, MBTA drop-in place, a public facilities, you know, for a bathroom, whatever.
That would be nice. So, well, we don't have that.
But that stuff just didn't happen. But we did get the police substation.
Thankfully, with the help of Cambridge Savings Bank, right?
Yes, very much. And I don't know what the deal was.
But I mean, I guess
it does. The sign says, you know, courtesy of Cambridge Savings Bank, because if there's any money involved in this, I think it's a nominal fee. Like, it could be one of those dollar a year things, but honestly, I don't know. So don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
But the head of the Cambridge Savings Bank was there for the ribbon cutting today.
Can we show that photo?
Yeah. Let's take a look here, shall we?
Good. Right. Who's the head of the, is he in this photo?
I do have a photo, but I don't think he's in this one right here.
So this is where, so they kept this part. Well, actually, they have a new sign.
They changed the sign.
Yeah.
You know, so
Cambridge Police Reporting Station.
And the sign actually says courtesy of Cambridge Savings Bank.
Oh, good. That makes sense.
So they made use of where the ATM was.
Yes.
So the ATM moved around the corner. They refitted the interior so they ran it deeper. Basically, where the back of the ATMs were is now usable space where the police can be. You know, and it was great. It was a really nice turnout.
Is it a pub? Can you just walk in, or is it you have to be a policeman?
You can walk right in. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't take too much in the way. I don't.
Oh, so reporting. So literally, you go in and report something.
Yeah. So what you do is when you walk right in there, there'll actually be a counter, and there's glass, and then the police will be behind the glass. And
I see. I see a little something here, but I can't tell.
So it'll be staffed for a good part of the day, and I don't sure exactly what the operational hours are.
Well, they'll probably put that on some sign there.
I'm sure it'll be marked up all right and proper.
Is there a surveillance camera around there? There should be, right?
Yeah. So let's scroll down a little bit here and just see though. So, so there, the usual speech making. The reason why I picked the one with Denise Simmons was that when this idea was first promoted, the people who really really wanted it were counselors like Dennis Benzan and Denise Simmons. There was pushback from other councilors. Nadine Mazin was on the council at the time. Mm. He saw it as sort of a militarization of Central Square.
Yeah, right.
So he didn't make too many friends in the police department.
Did Craig Kelly have any objections?
I think he might have at least raised the question about it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that eventually kind of people did warm up to it. So it was kind of a nice sign. I mean, today Craig Kelly was there for the ribbon cutting.
Yes, well, we can see that in the next photo. You want to go to the next photo?
Yeah, watch the next one. So
this is the last photo.
Yeah, so I didn't get the sort of the nice straight shot of when Mark McGovern, the mayor, was cutting the ribbon but that's what was happening right there.
Is this the Cambridge Savings Bank?
Unfortunately, I forgot his name.
All right.
Really nice
I'm sure it'll be written up in the Chronicle.
Yeah, Commissioner Bard is there on the left. Pauline Carter Wells, who we all know because she's She's part of the police brass, but she's also a wonderful singer.
But I don't see her.
She was in one of the other photos. But Louis DePasquale, Craig Kelly.
This is
Sambal Siddiqui is there, and that's Bob Reardon, who's the city assessor.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
And then Louis DePasquale.
Yeah,
and
many of the police officers who are there are actually the ones who work the Central Square Beat. So the people who I know.
So the address is 628 Mass Ave.
Mass Ave, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
it's wonderful.
So anyway, it was a great event. You know, there was one almost unfortunate moment when one kind of ne'er-do-well was heading toward the subway. He saw the assembled police, and he sort of shouted out, "F the police!"
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, and it was like, because people just went, "What?"
That's
but
right.
You know, hey, it's Central Square, so you know, we have a little bit of that. But I think if anything, we were being a bit of an obstruction on the sidewalk.
True.
People were trying to get to the subway, and we were all kind of blocking the way. So,
do you think interest in having it also was increased by people when they were talking about revitalizing Karl Barron Square? And people brought up the fact of the congregation there, and problems. Did that add to it?
I don't know if it did. I think that there were some. I think the particular population that is often in Karl Barron Plaza became kind of a focal point, so they started putting in regular beat officers to be there.
Oh, so they were already there.
Yeah, so they're there's definitely an enhanced police presence
in
that area.
Also have one of the, whatever you call those, public toilets. There's a name. What's the name of that?
The Portland Loo.
Portland again. Boy, Portland's
good. Yeah, Portland's really all over the place.
All right, okay.
So anyway, it was a great event, and we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out.
Nice. Well, that's my bank. Thank you, Cambridge Savings Bank.
No, I have to say, my bank is Citizens Bank, but when I see the folks here doing this stuff, I'm thinking to myself,
Cambridge
Maybe.
Savings Bank is the only one that has not ever been bought out by anyone.
And
they've been around 200 years.
That was part of what they said. We are a community bank and public services.
My whole family has accounts there.
Consider it. I will definitely consider it. You know, because they're doing us a solid.
And they support CCTV.
Yes.
We're great. And I think somebody from the bank is on the board. So anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a great event, and more to come. My understanding, by the way, we had the Taste of the Bid, which, the murals, which helped to sort of help promote that. Mm. We had all these ambassadors that were doing a lot of cleanup and things in Central Square.
Oh, yeah, I got an email about that.
Yeah, but it was like a taste of what could be
for a
business improvement district.
And where does that stand? Is that like order, or what's going on with that?
The thing is that you need to get local legislative approval, meaning the city council.
Okay.
But there are provisions in state law for how to do it.
Okay.
You have to sort of write it up, bylaws, set up the structure. This is what we're going to do.
Has that been done
so
yet?
Money. The paperwork is all sort of in prep. It's still being massaged into
place. So when you say city council, then it comes through the city manager?
No.
Ultimately,
basically, you petition the city council, I believe.
It's a petition like a...
Well, I mean, you basically say, we want to establish a bid pursuant to state law. And because there's some taxing authority that's associated with it, the local legislature has to say...
So it has nothing to do with zoning.
It's not a zoning matter. It's a provision in state law that allows the establishment of business improvement districts.
How many are there, in Massachusetts?
This downtown Boston, there are some around, it's not widespread, but the thing is, there are some around.
But the state would go along with it, probably.
Well, actually, they have enabling legislation, so they've already set up the rules how to do it, and you don't have to go back
supportive.
To the state.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So it's just a question of
my understanding is that there's enough property ownership now who have basically signed on.
That's true. You have to have their support, right?
Yeah, they lowered the percentage of owner or ownership that had to sign on.
I see.
So I think it was something like, it's maybe, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think it's something like 60%, whereas it used to be 75%.
Hmm.
But whatever it is, I'm pretty sure that enough people have become fully convinced that this is a good thing that they've signed on, it'll probably happen in the coming year.
Well, I'm going to make a crazy analogy, but is it like the EU, once you become a member, you have to pay dues, even if you didn't want to be in it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's like a...
That's right.
All right.
Yeah. If you're in the district, you're in the district. Yeah.
So 60% that support it, and if, say, 40 don't, they still are going to be subject to the same taxing
authority. That's right. But they get services for it. So
Does the EU, right?
Yeah. So that's the idea, and I think people have become convinced that this will actually overall be a good thing. And some of the sort of civil liberties issues about, you know, will they have say-so over what can and can't happen in Central Square?
What?
I think most... Well, that's always an issue that people raise when you talk about things like business improvement districts.
Oh, because it gives the businesses too much power?
I don't think it does, actually, but there's always a concern. And especially in a place like Cambridge, right? Where somebody will say, well, we don't want to, if I want to get up in the public square and I want to do some performance, or I want to get up on a soapbox and start... You know,
I think that's allowed now with the new street performer, right? You don't even have to pay, which, $20 a year, half the price.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of that, but anyway.
Anyway, so I think most people understand now that there's really no infringement of what people can do. You can do pretty much the same as you always could. It's just that now maybe the streets will be cleaner.
Services, even if you didn't support it, you're going to benefit from the services with that, whatever that taxing amount is that you're...
Yeah, so I think most property owners have come around to believing that this will actually, you know, this will lift all boats and everybody will make out better and it'll be worth it for everybody.
Great.
So we'll see, you know, so that'll be one of the interesting things that'll hopefully come into
existence this coming year. Okay.
You know, I mean, I was sort of, because we were doing some ordaining at the city council meeting last night, I'm already starting to think, like, okay, what's going to shake down in 2019?
Oh.
You know, what's coming, what's on the horizon, right?
The envision whole thing.
So, actually, that's two things that we probably should mention up front. So, in addition to a number of other matters before the city council last night at the December 10th meeting, There were a couple of ordinances or proposed ordinances that have been on the unfinished business part of the agenda.
Especially the surveillance one.
Yeah, the big one was the surveillance ordinance. Now, I'm not going to run through all the details of it, largely because I don't know them all.
It's 20 pages or something.
You know, it's sort of long, but I think the idea was primarily the notion that should city departments, and particularly the police department, have access to technologies, that allow them to get access to things that you might not know about or may not be happy about.
Right.
And trying to curtail that could infringe on the police department's ability to do its job. So the difficulty in getting to a version of this ordinance
that was acceptable to both the citizenry and the police department.
Yeah, is how do you put some controls on excess without putting so much control that police can't do the job you want them to do.
Mainly was gearing toward the police? It had nothing to do with cameras and all that?
I think it covers quite a few areas, so basically all city functions. Right, it's a municipal surveillance ordinance. It doesn't affect things outside of the city.
Yeah.
But the primary parties who would be involved in utilizing such technologies
are the police.
Would probably be police and doing police investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So anyway, there were amendments for even some tiny little word amendments from Councillor Kelly at the very end, but there were some slightly bigger ones that Kelly said, look, this is a much bigger conversation if we want to go for some of the bigger proposed amendments.
Right, and he was willing to...
He said, so let's just save that for another day.
Yeah.
Because this is sort of like an organic ordinance that will probably have to be revisited more than most ordinances.
So what happened to it then?
it was ordained 9-0.
It was ordained. It's already gone through the... So it becomes part of
Our
bylaws.
I don't know when it goes
something.
Into effect. There's actually some aspects of it cannot go into effect immediately because they do involve changes in police procedures and how they use technologies.
Okay.
And they have to kind of basically size up what they've got, determine what needs to change.
Oh, like
and what,
make a whole list of what they have.
Yeah, and they have to basically change some of their protocols. So you can't just like throw a switch and have it...
ShotSpotter a technology that is under this ordinance? In a sense, isn't that a technology that allows you to find out where something is happening?
You know, you could probably make a case that that's a form of surveillance, but the thing is it's not person-specific.
I'm all for it. I'm just
saying. No, I am too.
Oh, but surveillance means person-specific?
Well, the thing is the concern, really, were civil liberty ones. So in other words,
for example,
several years ago, especially when Marjorie Decker was on the council, there was a time these Homeland Security cameras were made available nothing. So the city got them, and they were mounting them, and but then they were never able to turn them on.
Are they still up there?
I think so, yeah.
So where's that at? Some people would argue, hey, London has it, why can't we have it?
I didn't follow the surveillance ordinance closely.
So you don't know if it's in there. Initial, it might be in there.
When the initial draft of the language came in, I looked, it looked like it was written by a crazy person.
Ooh.
So I just said, okay, this is weird.
Why did you say that?
Because it looked like one big, crazy, long run-on sentence.
So it's changed since then?
Oh, yeah. I think it got modified. The law department massaged it. The ACLU massaged it. And so the final draft actually reads like an ordinance ought to read. You know?
I'd have to look at this to see if it mentions cameras.
Right. But the thing is that I don't know for sure, but the biggest stumbling block and the one thing that still was being talked about right up to the very end had to do with what they call exigent circumstances.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
If there's like a pressing emergency situation have technologies available, and even if it's technologies that the city council doesn't even know you have, should you be permitted to use it because there's an emergency type of situation?
But what do you mean? Why wouldn't the city? I thought they're making a list of what they have and having that on.
That's basically no. Oh. Not necessarily.
Oh.
So the thing is, they may have certain technologies, but the thing is that if there's an emergency situation, at least this is my understanding of it.
I thought they get 90-day.
You get like a bit of a grace period where you can do that, but you can't just continue to use this new technology.
Right. Without informing the city council.
But
I think
so that
it said that.
Right. So that was put into the ordinance.
Was he objecting to then?
I don't think in the end there was any objection. It was 9-0 for a good reason, that they'd already worked that out. But I think in the original draft, pretty much it was, I could get this wrong, but my understanding was that the police couldn't use technology unless they first got legislative approval. And that would have been a bad idea. And an unfair infringement on police doing their job.
You mean on anything new that came along?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes they may need to do something because the circumstances are, it's overwhelmingly clear that they need to do something, you know? And I don't know whether that extends, for example, to those Homeland Security cameras. I would hope in a reasonable world that if an emergency situation happens, if there's a, you know, in the moment there was a major gunfight or something, and they had the capacity to snap on a camera and utilize it and then report it after the fact, that would be something that should be okay.
Would that have helped with that gun shoot that went through Main Street?
It might have.
You know, we're surveilled all the time.
I know.
I feel like that... Under the right, you know, again, it's always under the right circumstances.
I'll never forget.
I just feel that if it's there, we should use it.
I'll never forget when there was, this was probably at least 10 years ago when they first were arguing this matter.
10 years we've had?
Homeland Security cameras. Well, they came out after
9/11. You're right.
That there would be some, the big concern was that there would be what I think Marjorie Decker would call them, the fusion centers of the government, where data being collected was all being shipped to some central facility national FBI people were going to be.
That's why it's Snowden's in Russia.
Basically doing surveillance and knowing where everybody in the universe was at any moment, using high-speed computer technology to track everybody.
China's
right?
doing that.
Yeah. So I understand it's a concern.
But there's degrees.
And I think, you know, it's not a good idea to overreact to these things. So this is a good thing. And, you know, honestly, Cambridge is a place where we probably wouldn't be doing anything to access anyway. So maybe Cambridge is the right place to draft an ordinance like this because it's not kind of it shouldn't really be so controversial here. And then other cities and towns, just like with the the Airbnb matter, where if we establish an ordinance and it kind of passes all the appropriate smell tests, then other cities and towns might look at it and go, hey, you know, that's actually a pretty good ordinance.
Boston made it much stricter, though.
It's
interesting.
Right. But the thing is that, you know, Cambridge can be a sort of a good proving ground to establish ordinances, do it right, and do it in less of a sense of controversy. And then other people can just say, hey, that's not bad. Let's go with it. So in the end, Will Durbin, who was involved in both Airbnb as well as this,
It's Craig Kelly. You know,
maybe he ought to be getting author credit for exportable ordinances.
That
can go elsewhere. Well, I actually had a little bit of fun with this one because when I was writing up my usual snarky comments about it, because it was, you know, there was that in the street performer ordinance, which is not a new ordinance. It's a revision to an existing ordinance.
It's revision, changing it from 40 to nothing.
Largely, changing the fee structure. So I figured, okay, well, you know, these things have been in the queue waiting to get ordained. Let's have a little fun with it, right? So one of the things I found myself doing, because, you know, I am the keeper of obscure texts. So I happen to have the revised ordinances of 1892, City of Cambridge.
Unbelievable. Put some of them on your website.
Yeah, I actually did a little Googling around so I could get a text copy of it. So there's the 1899 revisions of it all. You know, but it's actually kind of funny. You know, sometimes when I read Cambridge ordinances, including the zoning ordinance, it looks extraordinarily specific and...
Now,
you know,
does this mean these are still in effect?
You know, actually, I don't know. I don't actually know.
Well, wouldn't something supersede it then? Because you were just taking it out of that book.
Yeah. So in 1892, there were actually ordinances basically dealing with, you know, what to do with truants. You know, young people who are up to no good and
is that the one
growing up in ignorance and what must be done according to ordinance, how they have to be shipped off to the Middlesex County Truant School.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was actually part of Cambridge City ordinances at the time. There was actually an ordinance for a stat requiring that the city maintain a workhouse.
Oh.
You know, are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
But that would come, what movie is that from? The country. Oh, I don't know.
It's from A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, right. I see newer movies than you do.
No, I love the old ones. Yeah. But where basically people who either couldn't find work or wouldn't work, they would be, you know, relegated. You go to the workhouse, you know, you've got to be put to go to work, you know, or anybody who was spending too much time.
Wow, seven. They started seven. Can you imagine that? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
One of the things that I found was, one of the old ordinances was that it was not legal to sled on any street of the city without written permission of the mayor.
They had a mayor there.
Right?
Yeah.
And in fact, you couldn't ride a bicycle or tricycle at a rate of speed exceeding 10 miles an hour.
Yeah. Right? So people were biking. Well, actually, there were no cars back then. Or very few, right?
Yeah. And actually, one of my favorites of all, which I couldn't help but laugh about.
Yeah.
What it said was, well, in addition to no person shall behave himself in a rude or disorderly manner or use any indecent,
profane, or insulting language
in any street or public place.
Wouldn't that be nice to be enforced?
I think I've actually broken the law.
Oh, I'm sure we all have.
I may be liable for a fine.
Still in the books.
But, you know, there were several of them that actually had references to where the only way you could do things was except with permission of the mayor.
Yeah, the mayor is very important.
So I love this one here. No person except by permission of the mayor shall deliver a sermon, lecture, address, or discourse on any common or other public grounds.
Oh, so not Harvard and not MIT.
Right. You know, but according to that, you could sort of give a sermon up like in the middle of Central Square, but you got to check it out with the mayor first.
Right. That mayor was really important.
Actually, one thing I should make clear, because there was no city manager form of government.
Right, until the 30s.
Any reference to mayor in old laws is now superseded. You should replace the word mayor with city manager.
Oh, right. Interesting.
So there's still references even in the planning charter. Wow. Not the planning charter, excuse me. But other references, about appointments by the mayor, even though it says appointment by the mayor. So you think Mark McGovern's going to say, what? I get to appoint members of the election commission?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's just that the law was written long before we had city manager form of government. And it's accepted under state law that that when you replace a strong mayor system with a manager form, that the manager takes that authority.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like the last one, which is interesting. No child under 16 shall be loiter or remain upon any street after the hour of 9:30.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Right.
And, boy.
Yep. And I think there were restrictions on their use of velocipedes.
Well,
I actually had to look up velocipede.
Well, that's back up here. You mean the bicycle?
Yeah. So a velocipede is actually a bicycle where you basically the pedals are directly connected to the drive, the wheel. So you think of those big wheel front wheel ones were velocipedes.
Because it does refer to bicycles here too.
Yeah. So when we get into doing ordinances, that's what we do.
What do you think about the street performer ordinance?
You know, actually, the one thing that none of this, you know, the funny thing about loss of institutional memory here.
Yeah.
So I was around when the first street performer's ordinance was there. In fact, I was actually involved with the people who were drafting it.
Okay.
Stephen Baird was one of the main people, and I'm good friends with a lot of people affiliated with him. The reason why there were fees was because they needed to hire sound monitors to monitor the performers in the square, and you had to hire them. So it was to produce a very small income stream for the very small stipends that were paid to the sound monitors.
So do they still use these sound monitors?
Yes, they do. And so now they basically the Arts Council just has to pay for it out of their budget.
So my only problem with the whole thing is that apparently, Jason, the Arts Council and artists all got together and agreed upon having this $20 fee.
Yeah.
And I don't see...
You know, that's the thing.
It bothers me that...
There is a certain kind
of... It's like same with the parking thing. It's like, come on. I mean, $10 a year.
It's a kind of a nonsensical populism that elected officials sometimes engage in.
I mean, I know. I'm glad that
look at me. I'm going to make it free. But, yeah. We're going to give you this. We're going to make it available for nothing. Yeah.
And maybe not to make the homeless have to prove anything. But, you know, there's other ways to do that.
Yeah.
I just feel like... That was overstepping, I think.
I think it was, and it was also done.
It's going to cost more money.
All of those amendments were also done sort of on the fly, on the floor of the city council.
I know.
So, you know, you meet, you have committee hearings, you sort of work it out, and then at the last minute, you know, somebody wants to be the most popular kid in the pack, so they
Yeah, and I just feel like it goes against what I thought, unless they are considered elitist, the artist that went with.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not on board with it, but
we'll work it out, but, you know, it's. You know, but you know, I don't be surprised if there's a little extra item in the Arts Council budget this coming year to cover the cost of the monitors.
Yeah. So or just the whole processing.
Yeah.
So let's see. We're coming back in the next segment with I guess housing is a big issue.
We'll talk a little bit about housing and you know, there was a rather interesting late order that came last night that probably
relates
needs at least
to
a little bit
state,
of discussion.
A house bill. Yeah.
See you in a couple minutes.
Okay. Bye.